Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yo, it is another episode of Phillies Today. I'm your host, James Seltzer. It is Thursday, April the 19th. Is unfortunately, we are coming to you after a Phillies loss yesterday as they lose the rubber match with the Braves in Atlanta, falling 7-3. Luckily, back in action today, a chance to get right back on the horse facing the surprisingly 12-6 Pirates, a four-game set back at home in Philadelphia. The Phillies, obviously, so far this season have had a lot of success at home, haven't played the best teams, but here's a test for all the people out there. All they talk about is all the terrible teams the Phillies face, even though the Braves have the same record as the Phillies. But, and granted, the Phillies are 2-4 against the Braves. But, it should be interesting here as the Pirates have certainly, regardless of what the preseason expectations have been, playing far better baseball than any team the Phillies have played so far, sitting at 12-6, coming off a 10-2 rout over the Rockies yesterday. So we'll get into that in a bit. First and foremost, let's recap the unfortunate loss yesterday as the Phillies fall to 10-7 on the season, falling again 7-3 to the Braves. Vincent Velasquez squaring off against Brandon McCarthy. McCarthy more effective than Velasquez, at least ultimately giving up one run over 5 1/3 innings, gets the win. Velasquez with the loss, 6 innings, 3 earned runs, a home run to Ryan Flaherty in the third inning ended up being, in the fifth inning ended up being the real difference maker there. But really, for what it's worth, Velasquez looked pretty good. Like, he looked solid. 6 innings, 3 earned runs, 7 strikeouts to 1 walk. That's really the key for Velasquez. When you see those strikeout to walk numbers being 7-1, and it didn't look like he was nibbling in the same way he's been in the past. Again, as I've said multiple times on this show, it's going to take many solid starts like this for me to be back on the Vincent Velasquez as a long-term starter, bandwagon. But he's been good the last three starts. And again, no juggernaut teams that he's faced, but it didn't get the win tonight. Tough luck start, but a quality start for what that's worth. And 7 strikeouts to 1 walk. That's heartening to see from Velasquez. Hopefully he can keep us up. Again, it's really been, we'll dive into the game in a sec, but it's been really impressive and I think kind of under-talked about how great this Philly starting rotation has been really all season long. And, I've talked at least a lot about the bullpen and how impressed I've been with how well they've pitched. But the starting rotation, really, Aaron Nola on opening day, straight on through. Nick Pivetta, every start except that first one. Velasquez, every start except his first one. And Ben Lively hasn't been great, but he's been serviceable at times. But really, those top four, and Jake Arrieta, obviously that first start rough in the first inning, and he's been pretty good since. So it's been really a positive sign, and just to put it into numbers, and it couldn't have gone up that much last night. Ultimately, it will when they get the 7 runs scored, so probably went up a bit. But when you think about Velasquez throwing 3 and those last couple insurance runs tacked on, it was really 4-2 heading into the 8th. But stat that's kind of interesting to show how good the Phillies pitching has been, and this does include the bullpen, but still, prior to last night, and this is since opening day, so after they yielded 8 runs on opening day, between opening day and yesterday's game, the Phillies as a pitching staff had a 1.20 ERA. 1.20! It's hard to believe. I saw it, and I was shocked, and multiple people tweeted out. It was all over Twitter and all that, but What an impressive stat. And whoever had it first, I apologize for not knowing who had the first one. I saw multiple people with it, but a 1.2 ERA after opening day. I mean, until yesterday, that's and obviously went up after seven runs, but hard to understate how great the staff has done and the bullpen has done so far this season, and obviously a real positive harbinger moving forward. Granted, again, you know, oh God, the caveat of the poor competition, but there's only so much they can do. You have to beat who you play. There's nothing else they can do. So for now, we have to be happy with what we've seen. Unfortunately, yesterday, not too happy as the Phillies again fall 7-3. It started really from the top. Scott Kingery in the first inning drives one deep to the outfield, and Ender's NCRD made one of those just outstanding plays that you'll see on highlight reels, and just stealing a home run from Scott Kingery, and it didn't get any better. I mentioned Ryan Flaherty with the homer off Vincent Velasquez in the fifth. Ended up with four RBIs, Ryan Flaherty, yesterday, as outscored the Phillies himself from that perspective, as Dansby Swanson adds a home run later as well. And the Phillies just never really able to get anything going from an offensive perspective. Brandon McCarthy effective, the bullpen effective, and an Aaron Altair double adds on a third run that meant nothing. It was just Phillies offense wasn't able to get going. Andrew Knapp, the only hitter in the entire lineup who had more than one hit on the evening. So just a rough start from the offensive perspective as the Braves able to shut the Phillies offense down. And you know what? Look, this has been an offense that has not been shut down that often lately. So you give a tip of that to a Braves staff that got the job done for the most part this series in general. As, you know, obviously the first game close, a one-run, 2-1 game, and then, you know, they yield five runs in the second, but it was 1-1 hitting in the 10th, and then only giving up the three, the last of which was really a meaningless run as well. So Braves pitching really handled themselves well. I'm just lauding the Phillies pitching. I have to give credit where credit's due. One other note, you know, out of this loss, and a scary moment for Braves fans, and look, baseball fans, this guy's one of the better players in the league, but Freddie Freeman, Hobie Milner hits him with a pitch in the eighth inning, and Freeman had fractured his wrist last year right around the same spot where he gets hit. And one of those moments where, you know, how many times have you seen someone get hit by a pitch wherever it is, and you know, they wince and they kind of do the thing, and the trainers come out, and then that's what happens, and they'll get it and they'll go to first base, and the trainers will be like, you know what, let's take you out of this ball game here. None of that happened here as Freddie Freeman got hit and looked down and felt the pain and walked off the field. He just said, I'm out. And if I'm a Braves fan or a Freddie Freeman fantasy owner, that's a scary moment for me, because it looked like Freeman knew exactly how bad that injury was. And look, maybe it was precautionary, especially for a guy who fractured that exact spot or somewhere near that spot last year. It's just like, you know what? I am not messing around. I just got tattooed. I'm going to take a seat and figure this out. But I don't know. It's scary. Usually, you know, those guys try and stay in the game whenever they can. They do what they can. And that did not look like a very good situation. So we'll see how it plays out. A couple interesting other notes from the game before we move on, as Gabe Kapler, and this is not surprising, but as Joe Giglio pointed out before the game, and I noticed on Twitter, this was Gabe Kapler's 17th different lineup in 17 games, as Carl Santana got his first day off. And look, you know, look, the lineup moves have been working so far, so you can't quibble. But I think it was good to see Santana get a day off. He is the only starter who had played every single game up until this point, I believe. So, you know, I certainly think the blow was needed. But, you know, adding in the way Santana's season has gone so far, and he's really had a tough luck start, and it's the kind of thing where if you look at the numbers and you don't watch the games, you might not realize how unlucky he's been getting. But if you watch the games, you see how hard he's been hitting the ball. You see how many times he's put the ball into spots where, you know, fielders are there. And he's really just gotten significantly unlucky. He's still walking. He's still getting on base. He's still contributing. But, you know, so far it has been one of those situations where I've seen a lot of response on social media and whatnot, being like, how could they sign this guy? Oh, it's the worst move. And that's what you're going to see. Again, we are through 17 games of the season. But, you know, you look at the underlying numbers, and whether you're a stat person or not, I understand. But you look at the underlying numbers beneath the stats, the line drive percentage, all that type of stuff, the walk rate. And it really does signal that Santana's going to turn it around. And then he is getting unlucky. And look, his manager certainly thinks that. As Matt Breen had a column about this on Philly.com, and Gabe Kapler, with this is from Kapler about Santana's start. Quote, unquote, unluckiest start in baseball, he said. Kapler went on to say he's squaring the baseball up. He's still walking. He's still having great at-bats. From our perspective, Carlos is having a great start to the season. It's just the way that baseball is set up that it doesn't appear that way. And I, you know what? I don't think that's lip service. I really don't, because I watch the games. And I also know statistics. And I know what these numbers mean, at least on a somewhat basic level. And I know that when you look at the numbers and when you look at the games and you watch the guy play, he's getting unlucky. And that's what happens in baseball. A 17-game sample size is not big enough to take conclusions from it. Sometimes guys hit the ball hard and they hit it in the wrong spots. I mean, that is a part of the game. And for us to jump on a guy who's had such a consistent track record of success from an offensive perspective and has played really good defense so far, at least for the most part, a couple, you know, errant throws here and there, not really, you know, a couple errant plays here and there, but for the most part, it's been really good. But just look at the guy's stats over his career and the consistency and the just ability to get on base year after year after year after year after year. And you look at the way he's starting, you look at the fact that he's still walking and he's not striking out a ton. Have faith. Believe that Carlos Santana is going to be okay and that this is an unlucky start. This is not something where, even though we talked about yesterday where Kapler said that he always looks to say a positive thing instead of a negative thing about a player, which, again, I am a huge fan of, and I like the way he phrased it. He said it's more of a something to the effect of it's more of a life strategy than a baseball strategy, or it's a human strategy, and I love it because I'm that way too, but in this case, I just think Kapler's being straight up honest, and I think he's looking at the numbers and he's looking at the games and saying, "Hey, Santana's getting unlucky," and I really truly believe that's what's been happening. So you heard it here first. Well, no, you didn't. You heard it from Gabe Kapler first, but the Carlos Santana turnaround is coming. And it's going to be sweet. I feel very good about that. All right, coming up, a few more news and notes from yesterday, and then looking ahead to today as the Phillies again start a big four-game stretch at home here with the Pittsburgh Pirates, as the Pirates coming in 12-6, leading the NL Central. So a big spot here for the Phillies is, again, the competition. It hasn't been that tough so far. Good matchup coming here into town. We'll get into that coming up in just a minute. It's Phillies Today. It's James Seltzer. Don't go anywhere. We are back. It is Phillies Today. I'm your host, James Seltzer. Again, reacting sadly to a Phillies loss yesterday as they lose 7-3 to the Braves. 10-7 on the season, tied for second in the National League East with the Braves at 10-7. As the Mets sitting atop the division, 13-4, the Mets with a monster win yesterday over the Nationals, trailing at the end of the eighth inning, a 5-2, and the Mets have a 9-run eighth inning capped off by a Yoenis Cespedes monster grand slam, and the Mets go on to win. The Mets have really, I don't know how they're doing it. I really don't. I mean, look, the pitching is really good. I get that. DeGrom, Syndergaard, and then Mats Wheeler and Harvey all have potential, but DeGrom and Syndergaard are a legit one too. But personally, I don't think those guys are going to stay healthy all season. We'll see. But offensively, it's Todd Frazier, and it's Estrubel Cabrera, and it's Adrian Gonzalez, and it's Kevin Plawicki. I mean, Brandon Nemo. You know, I don't know. I'll be really impressed if it continues. I think Mickey Callaway is a really good manager. I think he was a good pitching coach in Cleveland. So from that perspective, I see Mickey Callaway being successful. But I've been shocked with what the Mets have done. But look, you know, again, 17 games is not a season make, or does not a season make. But at the same time, you know, it is interesting to see how these teams get off to certain starts. And I think sometimes that momentum can carry, and it can really kind of bring a team further than it expects to go. And again, look, all those guys I mentioned, other than like Nemo and Plokey, are guys who've had real success in Major League Baseball, just guys who maybe have either been past their prime or haven't been successful in a while. A lot of some people might say under the radar signings this offseason. Other people might say cheap signings. Either way, right now, certainly working out. All right, a couple quick notes, Phil's notes before looking ahead to the series with Pittsburgh. Quickly, Tommy Hunter on the rehabilitation track. He, two nights ago in, for the Threshers in a minor league appearance, of 1 3 innings, 1 hit, 1 walk, no runs allowed, 1 strikeout, 21 pitches, 15 strikes. Should be back out there soon as well. Looking to see Hunter back on this Phillies team soon. We talked yesterday about what a tough decision that's going to be as Hunter comes back, and then Leiter, and then eventually Nishik. There are some real decisions to be made, as a lot of these guys in the bullpen, guys like Victor Arano, you might have thought, you know, at the beginning of the season, when Hunter's ready, when Nishik's ready, these are the guys who will go, have been the best pitchers in the pen. And Victor Arano, again, has been just outstanding, and there's no way you can demote that guy. You know, there's no way you can afford to take that guy off your team. So it's going to be really interesting to see how it shakes out. Drew Hutchison, I said, I think, for me, at least, the number one most likely candidate. But again, it's interesting. It's still a tough decision because he's you know, kind of the one man who has real long man experience in that pen. Adam Morgan potentially could fill that role. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Hunter is going to be back soon, so we will at least get one of those dominoes to fall soon. Another thing to mention, and I thought this was really interesting, and I mentioned this yesterday as McCarthy and Ben Davis talked about it in the broadcast, but Jim Salisbury came out with an article really detailing it yesterday on CSNPhilly.com and talking about how Odubel Romero's miscues from three nights ago at this point, you know, where in the first game of the Braves series, where he had the double, not double, I should say, where he didn't run out the double, didn't slide to second base, got caught, where it was a clear double and very clear miscue by Herrera, and then a fielding miscue where now Tara and him converge on the same ball, and Herrera could have called him off and didn't, and Altair ends up catching the ball at the last second, but unable to really get a good throw to home, where ultimately the winning run scored on a sac fly in that case. But Herrera did feel very contrite about it, and it was talked about and all that, but and you know, came out and played well, and it seems like the whole situation was handled really well by Gabe Kapler, by his teammates, all that, but and talked about the Kapler stuff yesterday, but the one teammate in particular mentioned yesterday had kind of gone up and talked to Herrera and really exhibiting some real leadership tendencies for this team, Rhys Hoskins. And Jim Salisbury writes an article on CSNPhilly.com saying, you know, maybe their Herrera miscue showed something good for the Phillies, and it's about Rhys and his leadership. This from Salisbury's article, he says, moments after committing the mental mistake in the third inning of what became a 2-1 loss over the Atlanta Braves, Herrera jogged out towards the outfield to hand teammate Rhys Hoskins his glove and cap after Hoskins had been surrounded on first base. This from Salisbury's article. Standing in shallow left field, Herrera apologized to Hoskins for the base-running blunder. The moment spoke volumes because it showed that Herrera had some self-awareness that can only help his growth as a player, and it showed how much he respected Hoskins. The moment confirmed that even after just 65 games in the majors, Hoskins is emerging as a clubhouse leader. And Salisbury, first of all, terrific writing there, and Salisbury, one of the best in the business, and certainly one of the best on the beat covering the Phillies, but it's really a great point. I mean, Rhys Hoskins is 25 years old, and Odubel Herrera is a year older, more than a year and a half, whatever it is. But more so, Odubel Herrera has been in the major leagues for a while. You know, 65 games for Rhys Hoskins. Odubel Herrera has been an all-star. he has played in the All-Star game or been in the All-Star game. You know, that for him to, in that situation where he has that miscue, and, you know, obviously I'm sure he probably said something to Kapler or whatever, but for him to go up to Rhys Hoskins and to apologize to a guy who's played 65 games in the major leagues, that Hoskins has that kind of presence already, that he has that kind of, you know, gravitas, that a guy like Odubel Herrera, who has made many knuckleheaded plays already in his time here in Philadelphia, is going to feel that, you know, compelled to go up to Rhys Hoskins and apologize. And Hoskins, this also from the Salisbury article, commented on it, and he said, it's him talking about Odubel, he said he was sorry. I was going to say something regardless because I didn't want it to be on his mind. I just kind of reiterated, stay aggressive. Don't let this change the way you're playing. There was nothing negative about it, I told him. We're going to pick you up. I didn't want him to become timid because of a mistake he made. It happens. Physical and mental mistakes will happen. Obviously, if we eliminate mental mistakes, we're going to be fine. I mean, dude, what do you want to hear from somebody that age, 25, that's beyond his years? What a great perspective on the sport, on the approach, and Salisbury compared it to Utley and Dalton, the moment, guys like that. And I think it's a really fair comparison. But you know, Rhys Hoskins talking about, and there's so many things in that quote there, not only that he has the outlook on it that you know, he's like, I don't want Herrera to feel bad about it. You know, he made a mistake. Just that perspective alone when you're on a team and you're competitive. But then that to take it that step further and saying, I don't want him to change the way he goes about his business. I don't want him to be thinking about that mistake and not take the same risk next time. I mean, that is... I'm just so impressed with Rhys Hoskins, and I think that's kind of the real takeaway from that Salisbury article, and really the takeaway from what we've seen from Hoskins, both in his approach and demeanor and the way he goes about his work, his business, his job, but also obviously the approach to being a great player as well. And we've, you know, again, you hear him talk and he talks about the film study he does and how hard he works at being a great hitter. And you see it in his game, you know, the hit that ended up being the for all intents and purposes, the game winner two nights ago in the 10th inning, where, I mean, that was just such an amazing piece of hitting, especially after a night where he's 0 for 4 with three strikeouts, and he comes in and he's able to take that pitch to deep right to, like, opposite field, double in that spot to score two runs and basically win the game. I mean, that was such a mature at bat, a mature hit, a mature approach in that spot in a clutch moment. It's not surprising to hear Hoskins talk this way, but still, it's really exciting to see that someone who's so talented and such a great player is also such a leader and a guy who people can follow and people can set that tone. If your best player can be that kind of guy, it's really exciting. Speaking of exciting, big series coming up here over the next 4 days as the Phillies host the Pittsburgh Pirates for a 4-game set. The Pirates coming in at 12-6, leading the NL Central, just really playing good baseball. You know, some really nice young players on the team, a strong outfield with Starling Marte in center, Gregory Polanco in right, and then Corey Dickerson has been terrific for them, DFA'd by the Braves, and no one knew why they did it, but then come over to the Pirates, and Dickerson's been murdering it for them. So certainly didn't take it personally, did he? But a solid team all around. Not anyone who's going to blow your socks off again, but a lot of young talent. Josh Bell at first base. You know, they got some hitters. Adam Frazier in for Josh Harrison. Josh Harrison got hurt. That's a bit of an advantage. Pitching, a great matchup tonight. Probably the best matchup of the series is Jake Arrieta gets on the hill back at Citizens Bank Park, taking on Jameson Taillon, a young, talented arm who's been great so far this season. And then Ben Lively taking on Ivan Nova tomorrow, and then Aaron Nola back on the hill on Saturday. So we will get to all that again tomorrow. We'll discuss the weekend coming up and a whole lot more as this Pirates series gets going. Hopefully, this Phillies team can get a big, big win against the Pirates tonight. Either way, We will be back to talk about it tomorrow. So thank you for listening right here to Phillies Today on the Phillies 24/7 Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.